masterclasses and workshops at the only business show worth visiting. Grow Kent, June the 14th at the Mercure Great Danes Hotel, Maidstone. Get free tickets at growkent.co.uk or come on the day.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Channel Radio and kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, April the 11th. Now we're hopefully joined by Stephen Foster. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I thought you weren't going to be there for a minute.
I'm here.
Stephen is from the Magic Octopus, and you're down on the south coast at the moment, I think, Stephen.
I'm actually in London today.
Oh, are you?
Are you? Chiswick, but the head office is down in Poole in Dorset, yeah, a great part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. Thank you so much for joining us.
And
Joe here is here as well, and I know that you know Joe. Do you want to start off, Stephen, by just giving us a little bit of background to you? I know you've got a very special project going on at the moment, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but just give us a little bit of background to you and what it is you actually do at the Magic Octopus.
The Magic Octopus, really, we create content. So these days, businesses, everyone's got a website, everyone's got social media, but actually creating content and talking to your customers and your prospects and creating personality digitally online is something a lot of businesses don't do.
Sure.
You know, they set up a website and then don't move it beyond that. So we're very focused in actually creating digital conversation.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun. So it's film animation, social posts, disruptive campaigns.
Right.
Yeah, and there's so much noise out there now. So it's anything really that gets your brand or your small business some exposure and awareness and ultimately sales.
Okay, so just so you're not just kind of doing blog posts or whatever and stuff like that. It's not just that kind of content. It's kind of campaign-based stuff.
We're like the outsourced marketing department for some larger brands.
Right. Okay.
So we do that, but we also, you know, if you're running a small business and you want somebody to run your social media for you, we'll do it.
Right.
Because it's not a one-time thing. You know, it's like washing. If you don't do it daily, you get dirty.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's the same thing as those who creating content.
Okay, that's cool. So when I first had a kind of brief conversation with you on LinkedIn a few months back,
mm-hmm.
and you were telling me about a project that you're planning. Maybe you could give us some details about that and what that's all about and what you need and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, the project's called One Golden Nugget,
mm.
And it's a book I'm writing. And I'm going out at the moment to small business owners and entrepreneurs and some celebrities as well and asking them for their one piece of life advice that they've learned in a time of adversity.
Yep.
Now, from my own experience, you know, when things have not been going as well as, you know, I expected, you know, you look at that moment and often you'll find the good in that moment. You know, when you try a business project, it's not going well, you'll learn your key moments, your key life lessons, rather, in that moment of adversity.
Right.
So that's always going out to UK businesses and entrepreneurs. And we've been inundated with people. Because, you know, the one thing I never knew when I first started business was that it would be a succession of problems one after the other. And that's why we're in business, to solve problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what's come for it. So we just been inundated with small business owners. Oh, God, this happened to me. You know, I had this experience and I learned this. So from my own personal point of view, it's been amazing because I'm learning an awful lot and sitting with some great people that have got a lot of life lessons to impart, and we're putting them into a book, and you know, we're going to publish that book and then give the money to a charity called Young Minds, which helps kids with their mental health.
Fantastic. So let's explore some of that. How far into the project are you? How long have you been going?
We've been going now for the last 2 months.
Right.
And literally we're in the stage where small business owners are sending us in their nuggets. And then we're reviewing them, and the best ones are going into the book. And I'm also doing some one-to-one interviews as well for the book.
Right.
And you're being good company. You know, I've got some. We've got some TV celebrities because they're a brand in themselves. You
sure.
know, and they've been through oftentimes the same adversity that a small business owner's been through.
Yeah.
We're in that stage at the moment. We're still collecting the information, and I plan to get the book published by around the end of June.
The end of June?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And I'm intrigued. Roughly how many entries have you got so far?
We've had over 500.
Really?
Absolutely. In terms of people sending them in, and we selected at the moment just short of 100.
Okay. Intriguingly, is there anything that keeps repeating itself? You know, do people keep going, and this is mine, and you think, hold on a minute, there's a pattern here?
Absolutely. It's perseverance. Mm. It's pushing through those moments. And again, from my own experience, this is what I've learned, is that when things aren't going well, that's the time to get positive.
Right.
Anybody can be positive when it's going well, but when it's not going well, that's the time when you really show what you're made of. Mm. And that's been a recurring thing from everybody sending their stuff in. It's like, you know, you push through it, push through the barrier. Mm. And then you kind of go into a new experience and leave that behind. And then you have bigger problems.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just looking on your website because I remembered looking on there the other day and finding a few of the examples of what people have sent through. And I just had come across the one that says, a setback is never a bad experience, just another one of life's lessons, which I actually believe I almost texted word for word to Paul yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you say, it's a bit of a theme. And I like the Warwick Davis one. He says, expect nothing, love what you do and live in the moment.
I once did a seminar with Tom Peters, the management consultant, and he had a saying which was, if you haven't failed or been fired by the time you're 30, you just ain't trying hard enough, which also kind of stuck with me a bit.
Yeah, it's
so true. And do you know what? If we're in business, oftentimes we think it's just us.
Mm.
You know, I've had some momental failures, temporary failures, and at the time you just think it's you, and you just think, well, I'm not worthy of it, I'm not good enough, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, the best people have failed repeatedly.
Absolutely.
And so you should be celebrating the fact that you're in the game. Mm. That is the definition of success. So anybody listening now, if you're in business and it's not going quite as well as you want, well, respect you, because you're in the game. Just don't give up. You push on. And then you will get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Life is a series of failures with intermittent successes. It seriously is. You know, if you think about anything, even from when you were little, when you learnt to ride a bike, you learnt to ride a bike by falling off. Mm. Even if you were a wuss and had stabilisers, eventually your mum took the stabilisers off and whack, over you went. It's about learning from experience. Mm.
But don't you think that actually as a society, we're not set up like that. We're asked that, you know, oh, God, you shouldn't, you know, I failed at this, you shouldn't talk about it.
Exactly,
I know personally, I didn't do it for years, you know, when things haven't gone right. And I would like to encourage people to talk about it. It's like, you know, because oftentimes talking about it, it vents it a bit, you know. You can let the frustration go.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I interviewed you a few weeks ago for my podcast, didn't I? And I've remembered from hearing you now that you keep using the phrase temporary failure, and I just think that just shows your mindset on that, which I think, as you say, is so key. But
going back to the point that Steve just made, which I totally 100% agree with, is in society we're trying to minimise failure, we're trying to take it away, especially with young people. We don't like people to come second, you know, everybody gets a prize, yada yada yada. I don't think that's doing anybody any favours, because you know, we learn by learning what doesn't work. That experience is what teaches us most things that are useful in life. And, you know, if you even if you're one of those rare people that goes through life succeeding at everything, you haven't learned very much.
That's boring.
Yeah, it's dull and boring, and it's not reality.
Is there anybody that hasn't?
No, I know lots of people that say they have. I don't know anyone that actually has.
Anyway, so I would encourage anybody that's you know, thinking about getting into business, just learn how to fail, and instantly it's the bounce back thing. You know, as soon as you hit the floor, back up again, and away you go.
Yeah.
And then if with that mindset, then you become undefeatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can you beat the person who just won't lay down?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's an amazing thing. So, you know, salute to anybody running their own business.
Absolutely. But Steve, it's been really fascinating talking to you. So we haven't got much longer, and we're kind of breaking up on the line as well. So if people want to find out more about you, what you do, your business, and the Golden Nugget, how's the best way to contact you, find you, do anything?
the easiest thing is go to onegoldennugget.com.
Okay.
And there you can submit your nugget for the book, and also you can, you know, there's other ways you can navigate around my business and see, you know, what we're doing, and, you know, just drop me an email. You know, always up for a chat as well. Yeah, love talking to other business owners.
Fantastic. There is a link to your website on the Kent Business Radio website, and that will be there forever, so people can find you that way. Stephen, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We wish you much success with the book.
Thank you.
We will be buying a copy here, and I'm sure we will dip into it from time to time for inspiration when we run out of things to talk about on our show.
Thank you.
Cheers, Stephen.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. Cheers now. Bye-bye. Cheers.
And we didn't ask him where the magic octopus comes from, and I can't remember. Yeah. He told me when I interviewed him.
We'll do that next time.
I took ages trying to work out what my nugget was, and then I know. And then I read everybody else's on the website, having thought I needed to, you know, come out with paragraphs. Right. And then I thought, oh no, of course it'll be the mantra that my dad went on and on and on about to me when I was young.
Which is wear a vest.
Ha 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 ha! No, no, it's you only get out of life what you put into it. Which is, I think, a good thing to live by, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've just had a tweet from Amanda, who has gone. And she's just tweeted to say, it's nice and warm in my car.
Yes.
I think she's horrible. Taunting you, Joe.
It'll be horrible. It'll be too warm.
I've had it's a tweet from Anthony Jones, and his Twitter handle is AJPhotoInfo. And he says, Vanillaware Business Bunker, I'm a freelance photographer in Sheerness, available for all kinds of assignments. Please, can I have a Business Bunker shout out? Of course you can, Anthony. Consider yourself shouted out.
So
we can do a couple more things, and then I want to talk to our studio guest, who's been waiting there patiently, wrongly named on my website, which I need to correct.
Nodding in all the right places.
Exactly.
Making the odd encouraging noise throughout the show.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Very good.
And we might even have to talk to Nettie.
Don't have to.
But I'm not happy with her. She maligned my microphone colours earlier.
We can talk about that.
Okay. Joe.
So, Natasha from Split Second Events says she loves this guy's ethos. And then she says, is there a collaboration, Paul? So you'll need to write your nugget. So, Sally Marshall.
I did mine ages
ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Well done.
First learn your own job, then learn someone else's.
Oh, yeah. I like that one. Hmm. Yeah, that's good. Cool. Sally Marshall Breakfast Seminar, 8:30 till 10, including tea, coffee and pastries. It's members £12 and VAT, non-members £16 plus VAT, and that's a Kent and Victor Chamber event. It's perfect for new and small businesses, sole traders and established businesses. Marshall's Consulting help business owners free up their time, focus on their vision and increase their profits. So 21st of April, do you stand out from the crowd? That's Kent and Victor Chamber in Ashford. How does networking work for you on the 19th of May? And why do you need to know the numbers in your business on the 16th of June? You can book at kentandvictorchamber.co.uk.
Cool. I've just had the heating hub on, asking if they could have a shout out for their medical dog thing. I think we've done that to death, don't you?
I think they need to listen to the show.
Yeah. I know they're out at the moment, but, you know, that's just taking a Michael, isn't it? Yeah. Of course you can have a shout out. Hot dogs. Hashtag hot dogs. There you go. Refer to earlier in the show when we covered that in big detail. We've also had a tweet We've also had a tweet from FSB, Andrew Knott, who is A Knott20 on the Twitter, AKNOTT20. Please can I have a shout out, Paul? Save the date for the next Slope Off Friday. The next Slope Off Friday lunch will be on the 12th of May for those reprobates that attend that. And if you'd like to learn more about the FSB, you can call Andrew on 07747114627. So do that.
And he's also tweeted a very lovely testimonial to our next guest. Are you holding that one back to do afterwards?
Yeah, you can do that now if you want.
It says,
it's so nicely teed up.
Yeah.
This show is produced within an inch of its life.
FSB/WorldPay or /WorldPay saved one of our members nearly £4,000 on their credit debit card terminals yesterday. So
we did indeed.
Wow,
yes.
Well done. You told us about that earlier, hadn't you?
I did.
So you are aligned and joined up.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, credit to Andrew. We love saving people money. So
lovely.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk to Mark right now. First of all, before we do that, we're going to talk to Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
You're looking gloriously floral.
Floral today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Floral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice day.
It's a nice day. You're wearing pink, I'm wearing floral.
Exactly, yeah.
Normally black and blue is us, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's just me after she's had a go at me.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
So, set it up then, Nettie.
Well, actually, before I set it up, I'm going to tell you two other things, first of all, if that's all right. Yeah. First of all, the Chamber Business Awards were recently.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted that Rift actually won the Excellence in Customer Service Award.
I saw that and I tweeted that, and that's brilliant news. It's really good.
I'm really, really proud of that. Yeah. And we had a brilliant evening, and the entertainment was by someone called Etienne.
Oh, I know.
Have you heard of him? Yeah. So that's that. And the other thing I just wanted to talk about is the 21st of July is our annual golf day for Rift.
I wonder what you're going to say there.
And we do it in support of the Lighthouse Club, which is a charity that supports the construction industry.
Right.
All the teams have been sold. However, there is sponsorship on the holes around the course, and actually it's quite a big event. So if anybody does want to sponsor a golf hole, don't look at me like that. They have to deal with Mary Daly.
Mary Daly. Not the Mary Daly.
That's the one. That's the one. And if they're brave enough to have a discussion and not pay out money for sponsorship...
You've got no hope in hell. If, once you talk to Mary, you're there.
You'll be parting with cash. Absolutely. It's as simple as that.
No matter what. The lovely Mary.
Absolutely.
Daly.
I mean, the holes are £500 to sponsor, but if you talk to Mary nicely, she'll do them all for £250.
Just for those that don't know, Mary Daly is the lady that single-handedly raised like £2 million for the Multiple Sclerosis Centre in Canterbury. And she's a lady that actually has multiple sclerosis and 4 dozen kids.
Yeah.
She punched me last time I said that. She's actually got 4 kids.
She's got 4 children.
Yeah.
Four delightful children.
Yeah,
but no, she's a brilliant supporter of us, and she's organising our golf day. But if there is anybody who'd like to... And I'm particularly interested in anybody who's actually in the construction industry, because it's for that
charity. You need someone
charity.
To build them.
Yeah, build the holes.
Build a
Can
hole.
You build a hole?
If you've got a hole-making machine, we need you.
Yeah, don't you dig a hole. Yeah. So anyway, that I will just keep banging on about until we've done the show in July now. So you might as well just sponsor a hole, really, and then I'll shut up.
21st of July, I shall remember that.
Yeah, do make sure you do.
Well, I can't forget it.
Why?
Well, it would have been my 38th wedding anniversary this year.
Well, not everyone remembers their wedding anniversaries, even when they're married. Yeah. I heard someone the other day said April the 1st was her wedding anniversary.
The
so
tick's,
the tick's
almost gone, and then when she mentioned it again, it came back.
Okay, it's a Friday in July, this golf
Thank
day.
You.
Does that help?
Yes.
Does that help?
I feel much better now.
And then my guest today that I brought along, it's a little bit different this week because usually I bring a client, and there's nothing wrong with bringing clients.
Yeah.
But obviously one of my jobs at Rift is I'm the partnership manager.
Yeah.
And we partner with a lot of companies for the benefit of our clients.
Yep.
And I think that's the key thing to remember. It's not just me going out on jollies. It really is.
Nah.
Although it looks like it.
It just looks like it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, maybe it is. But it is all about adding value to clients. And Mark and WorldPay have been partners of ours for a long time. And I just thought it'd be interesting to bring some partners along this year and have a bit more of an understanding as to who these people are, why we partner, what we do, and the benefit to the clients.
And it's an interesting topic as well, of relevance to just about every business on the planet.
Including the construction industry. And I'll let my man to my right tell me more.
Yeah, golf hole diggers. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Mark Bybee.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
Mark is such a difficult word to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been practicing that all day. Mark.
We're all looking with bated breath. You can look with bated breath. That's a mixed metaphor, isn't it?
You've beaten every doctor's surgery and dental surgery.
And he's not known for that, you know.
I'm good at weird pronunciations.
It will all go downhill from now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So, anyway, Mike's joined us.
Got an email addressed to Mike this morning. So, yes, really? Yeah, that happens as well.
That's it.
Please have a reference to Etienne, though. That's important.
You know, can I do a really tedious link to Etienne? Yeah, 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 okay, so I've just looked on my social media and seen a post from a friend of mine that's out in Las Vegas at the moment.
Right.
And he has just posted a picture of him with Penn and Teller after watching the show.
Yeah.
And I believe that Etienne fooled Penn and Teller. Right. So that is my, that's my,
fooled.
Yeah. So yes, that's my that's tedious link to Etienne
cool.
today. So.
Okay. Good stuff.
So yes, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, Mark. Thank you for joining us. For those people that live in a cave and don't know, just give us an overview of what WorldPay actually is. And you can also, we were talking off air about a little bit about the history of WorldPay, where you came from and how you got to where you got to.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind starting off just telling us what WorldPay are, what you do, how you do it, and then a little bit of the history, and then we'll move on from there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So WorldPay, we are a card payment processing company. We are in fact, the UK's largest card payment processing company.
Right.
Essentially, we help businesses take payments.
Right.
And that can be face-to-face, maybe in a retail environment. It can be over the phone. It can be through websites in an e-commerce environment. Mm. It can be via email as well. And we're actually now moving into cash as right. well. So
cash.
Well, you're
making your own.
I said cash. So we've just launched the future of tills. It's a smart till, so it's tablet based.
Right.
So it's all touchscreen and things like that. So cool. Now you can monitor your cash and card transactions.
Can I ask you a question? I used to know the numbers for this, and I've kind of forgotten it. And anyway, the numbers will have changed. A while back, I think 2012, may have been before that actually, for the first time globally, cash exceeded, checks exceeded yep. cash. Yep. But I think since then, credit cards have exceeded both checks and cash.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So recently, card is now the most popular form of payment. And from a consumer point of view, recent research, around about 75 to 80% of all payments in the UK are made on card.
Yeah. And I guess I know this could be a touchy point here, but with things like contactless and Apple Pay and Oyster cards and all that kind of stuff, that is just taking over and over everything now, isn't it?
Yeah, contactless is up about 240% in usage year on year. So it's hugely growing market, and it's imperative for businesses if you have sort of face-to-face facilities to look down that route, because it can actually speed up the transaction as well, and you're ultimately increasing your turnover through doing that.
Absolutely, and funnily enough, being old and having been around a long time, when I use the credit, I've always used credit cards or debit card or whatever. And whenever I've used them, I've always used them for bigger transactions.
Yep.
Never really wanted to use them for lesser transactions. But with contactless, you do. You buy anything. You buy a £1 thing.
Yeah.
And you just go bang with it. I've got Apple Pay. You just go bang with your phone, paid. And you don't have to faff around getting money out of your pocket and all the rest of it.
Absolutely. And the best example of that as a WorldPay customer is Transport for London. Yeah. So if you're travelling to London and you don't have an Oyster card and you're now doing contactless on the tubes, that goes through. We process those payments. WorldPay process those payments. And that's a perfect example of exactly how. And it's become convenience. Yeah. It's convenience for consumers.
Yeah.
We're in a world, in a society, where we want to do things as quick as we can and as easy as we can.
Absolutely.
We're trying to cater for that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it's really annoying when you spend £31 or something, isn't it?
Why?
£30, £54 or whatever, because that's the contactless limit, isn't it?
Oh, for the contact. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you want to go, I have to put it in.
Do you know what I do when I'm in Tesco's? If it comes over, I put something back.
But it is interesting, on those occasions, when I've done one or the other, it does take a lot of time to put the card in and put your number in and wait for it to process and everything, really. And I can see why it's saving, volume.
When we talk about time, you know, it's time in our day. We're all busy people. So the average time, if you do a chip and... This is such exciting radio, I've just realised. if you do a chip and pin transaction, is around about 7 seconds. Right. Contactless being about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So 7 seconds in reality is
It's not that much a big deal to me, it is to me. But as you say, the big retailers having that throughput of people and saving 4 seconds a person.
Absolutely. So I recently saw a customer who has a coffee stand at a train station in Kent. And... wasn't using contactless. Mm. And so as soon as we introduced contactless to their business, within that 1 hour window of, you know, queues and rush hours and things like that, we were able to double the amount of customers he was able to serve.
Wow.
And that makes a huge difference to a business.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely does. And then, of course, the other upside of all of this is you haven't got to handle cash.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now there's no banks to take the cash to.
And there's no banks to take the cash to anyway. But if, you know, so you've got to walk, you know, 10 miles with two bags of coins, you're going to get mugged, aren't you?
It can reduce insurance costs, less cash on site. It's all that time that whilst you're walking down to a bank and paying that in, what else could you be doing more proactively in your business? Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we're just heading towards a cashless society and everybody knows it. There's no reason why we shouldn't, you know, cash it, you know, it's just tokens. They're just tokens and you don't need to have physical tokens to do things.
It's so interesting, though, saying that and thinking of the places where you go where you still have to use cash and you can't imagine them changing that anytime soon. But there's also odd things like Simon's school treasurer, and they have to have two signatures on an account. Therefore, they can't use online banking.
Mm.
Therefore, they can't make payments through banks. They have to do them through check. And so we're thinking, you know, checks are disappearing almost. And you can see why they had to keep them in the end. Because there's certain situations that are so archaic.
But it's the archaic situation that has to change, not the banking system.
No, exactly. And it's because they can't, you know, they have two people that have to say yes. They can't do that easily from different places at the same time.
There's always annoying things. I ought to state that many years ago when I had a proper job, I was actually the head of electronic banking for Citibank. So I have a bit of background into some of that, but there are always issues, and no matter what you do, you know, you'll invent something new that's an issue. And there are certain things, like, for instance, I've got a company bank account, and the person that organizes the bank account is only authorized to spend up to so much, da 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 da, and then I have to go in and authorize it, and then it tells me I can't authorize, you know, yada yada yada, normal kind of nonsense stuff that you get with any system that has, you know, the potential
checks and balances,
they can overcheck and tip over and balance. But on the whole, for me personally, I just believe that the whole plastic card. I want to avoid the use the word credit card because people then get confused about borrowing money.
Yeah.
Show on Friday, Money Talk Gone, where we were talking about that very thing.
Absolutely. You know, I use credit cards. I don't use a debit card. I use a credit card. But I pay mine off in full every month.
Yep.
Yeah. And you get 54 days free credit on a credit card, basically. And, you know, whatever other doody-dads they give you. But I'm a great believer in plastic. Yep. It's a better way of doing it. So, Mark, what I'd like you to do is tell us what Worldpay is. Give us a bit of the history to Worldpay as a company, what you actually do and how people can utilise what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit about us. We're 30 plus years old, actually, as a business. We previously known as Streamline or Streamline Merchant Services. Don't say that. Streamline Merchant Services, which was part of the RBSG, RBS Group. And we acquired Streamline.
Mm.
And what we've done is...
Streamline have been around a long, long time as well, haven't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Streamline will be well known, and I'll walk high streets and I'll still see Streamline stickers out and about.
Yeah.
So they're a very well-known company. But as I say, they are no more. They are part of Worldpay. And what we've done, we've streamlined... use that word, no pun intended, all of our processes and systems. And so what we offer now is far different to a lot of our competitors out there. So we offer, typically in our industry, it's all contract-based, so you have to tie yourself into, you know, 3-year, 5-year contracts and things like that. We're able to offer a multitude of offerings to our businesses, and that is short-term contracts, fixed-price contracts, or pay-as-you-go options.
Mm.
And we're the only provider, only major provider that offer pay-as-you-go. And it's really nice. And we were talking off air about, you know, a lot of the seaside towns. And that there might only be, you know, 6 months of the year where they may be trading.
Yep.
And previously they'd have to tie into a three-year contract, which seems, you know, they're only going to get 6 months of the year out of it.
Yep.
They can now actually do a pay-as-you-go agreement. And we're really, really pleased. And it's gone down really, really well with the businesses out there when it comes to that. A couple of other things, and to tie in to what Nettie was saying about certain industries and things like that, and you were talking, Paul, about debit versus credit and summarising as plastic. But one thing that it's really important to be able to offer a customer or a consumer is a choice or an option.
Yep.
So, for example, typically in sort of construction industry, I'll speak to a lot of businesses and they'll say, well, you know, customers will bax me. My payment. And we were talking as well about potential bad debt and things like that, because someone's saying they'll back you, that's all well and good, but actually when do they get round to doing that, and how long are you spending chasing that payment, and are you writing any bad debt off and things like this? So by giving a customer an option to actually pay on plastic, you're giving your business a better chance of receiving those funds.
Absolutely. I can corroborate that, and in my business, many years ago, we signed up to WorldPay,
and we still
are
pleased to hear.
We're still a WorldPay user, and it fundamentally transformed my business, because up until then we spent a lot of time dealing with bad debt. Once we were able to take online credit card payments or online plastic payments, we were able to insist that people paid before they advertised, and that eradicated all of our bad debt. Portfolio saved us money in employing people like Jamie O'Connell to go around with a baseball bat and get our money. No, he doesn't do that really. You know,
I had a similar situation when I had a magazine business, and the same thing, that you'd get right up to the deadline for printing, and you'd have that whole thing about, oh, do I put it in and hope they'll pay? If I don't put it in, I'll never get the money, and I'll have a gap in the magazine. But if I put it in, they might not pay, and I've already printed it. But then you could literally, you know, 11th hour, get them to pay by credit card, and, you know, it job done sort of thing.
And
so I am also a well-paid customer.
Wonderful to hear. This isn't set up either. Yeah. You genuinely are. It's brilliant.
And it makes a huge difference to your business and to your business cash flow, and to how much effort you have to spend on cash flow.
I always think coffee shops that don't take credit cards debit cards. There was one in Hyde that now does take them, and for a long time the previous owners didn't, and they were very successful. But I'm sure they would have been much more successful had they taken it, because quite often I wouldn't have gone in there because I didn't have any cash on me and I couldn't be bothered to go and get some. So I just go into a shop where I could pay with my debit card.
There's a really famous restaurant. I'm not going to name them. There's a really famous restaurant in the Whitstable area that does not take credit cards, and they won't take checks. You have to pay by cash, and it's not cheap, this place either.
Yeah.
And why they've kind of turned it into a gimmick.
It's
a bit of a thing, because they don't have any trouble filling their restaurant.
No.
So they, you know.
But I'm sure in other places they have people either who don't go in there, or they do go in there, but they only spend what they've got in their purse. Whereas had they paid with their card, they'd just spend whatever. You know?
Our research shows that on average, spending on cards is 33% higher than with cash.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example. So we've all probably been there where we've been in a pub and got a tenner in our pocket and run out of that tenner and you go, we'll call it a night. Whereas if you pull out a bit of plastic, you're suddenly standing for another drink or another round.
You're in dual circling territory then.
But it's the way of the world, and we all do it. And it's why the supermarkets have impulse buyers at the till, because they know typically it's going to be a plastic payment. So you're just adding...
But they have the view, don't they, that it's going to cost them X amount to have that facility to use the card, therefore it eats into their profits, therefore it's a problem. And it's that whole thing about, do you make more money by reducing your costs or by selling more? And actually those people will sell more, therefore they can afford to pay to have the service.
The other point about that as well is, and it's a very good point that you make, Joe, because you still go into places where they want to add a charge if you want to use a credit card. What are you on? You know, get out of it. But a lot of places still do.
I think the genius ones are the ones that say you can, the minimum is £5, because I don't know about you, but I'll always go, okay, I'll just buy something else. Yeah, that's fine. Here you go. I've only got a card. And I think actually that is the ploy to get people to spend more.
But
actually, last week, wasn't it, you were saying to me about that client that what was it, how much it costs them to put all the transactions through. We said it always costs, we have to add this much on because that's what it costs us.
Yes.
And that's what they honestly believed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. So, an experience of a business was that because they were once charged in a different business 50p to process right. or no, to use right, to yes. spend on their car. So when I went out to see that business, they thought it was going to cost them 50p each time.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of businesses about that still either they believe it or they're using it as a scam because that's why they charge the 50p or whatever extra.
I must say for legal purposes, legally you are allowed to charge up to the percentage that you are being charged by your payment acquirer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, and we're quite strict on that. You know, there are legal rulings around that. So.
But also that thing, and going back to what you're saying about the new iPad for the cash thing and everything else, you know, thinking back to when I first started working, I did some work in our cash office of Safeway, the supermarket company. And, you know, at the time, credit cards were just starting to being used a bit more. But we counted tons and tons and tons of cash.
Yeah.
The amount of time it took to have the amount of people needed to be in the cash office to count all the money.
Yeah.
So even for small companies, catching up at the end
of the
night.
That's exactly the point I was about to make before I distracted myself. The point is that there's a transaction cost in terms of handling a card, but it's a transaction saving as well.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, outside of the 30% extra spend that Mark just identified, there's also the cost saving of having to handle, count, transport, pay in cash. Mm-hmm. And banks aren't exactly cheap either in terms of their transaction costs. So,
The bigger companies that get, the security companies coming to pick cash up from them because that's the health and safety way to do it and stuff. You
I
know.
Think as well, Joe, you touched on there, which is, you know, time is precious, certainly as a small, medium-sized business owner.
Yeah.
And you don't want staff wasting time counting cash, taking it down the bank, then being out of the business and things like that. So, again, with our new system, it's called My Business Hub. You can see more about it at worldpay.com. Shameless plug alert. But actually, as I say, it will automatically count what's in the till at any point in time. It will tell you live what card payments you've taken, debit cards, credit cards, etc. It can all be remotely accessed as well.
Right.
So a business owner doesn't even have to be in the business and still see how their business is performing. That's through an award-winning product called My Business Dashboard that we have as well.
That's brilliant. When people come back and say, you've not given me enough change back and things like that, and you have to say, well, we'll have to cash up the till to find out.
Yeah, you can see it straight away.
Yeah. Oh. Straight away.
See, absolutely. 30 years ago, this would have been brilliant.
It's also auto reconciliation, so no more Zed reports and X-reads and things like X-ray. That.
Oh,
so
you're bringing it all back to me now.
It's auto reconciled, so you can, at the end of the day, press one button and all your end of day is done.
Oh, that's
so, you know, we've got productivity tools here, we've got productivity gains by doing it, and you've got the potential to increase your revenue stream by doing it. So, it's a bit of a no brainer. That you should really. I personally can't think of any business in which I would say, don't take credit cards. I just can't think of it.
Can I surprise you with another fact then?
Yeah.
Only 2/3 of small to medium sized businesses actually take cards.
Really?
There is still a third of businesses out there which are not taking cards.
And do you think? Do you have any idea? Do you have any feel as a business what the breakdown between those people that just don't want to because they don't want to, and those people that just don't know how to.
I think that's it. So there is a myth that it's expensive to do so, and I think we've sort of touched on today actually the benefits and the rewards of accepting cards, and there are many, many more which I could go through.
Yeah.
One of the major ones, the last one I'll touch on really is accepting credit cards. So as soon as you accept card payments, a lot of people assume it's in a debit environment, and debit environment being cash or bank transfer or a debit card.
Yeah.
But actually, and again, coming back to construction industry and where it works really nicely, is actually somebody who, let's say, for example, really wants a job done. They're looking to sell their house or something like that, and they want an extension or whatever it may be. They really want it done, but they don't have the funds in their account at the moment, yet they hold a credit card. They can pop that on their credit card, so that the builder, the construction company, get the job there and then. They get their money, the money secured to them.
Mm-hmm.
The customer gets their extension, and they can pay it off in their own time, £50 a month for the next however months if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, for a lot of businesses, it opens up new opportunities of sale as well. So, you know, where once before, if they didn't accept cards as a business, they wouldn't maybe have got that job, and that customer may have gone somewhere else where they could put it on their credit card. they can now take on extra jobs as well, and you know, the revenue is exponential from there.
Absolutely.
And that's a really good support for a small business. You know, if you are a small business that you lay patios, and someone wants a patio done, as simple as that, but this can be this pay-as-you-go system that you do, that might be the only time they use it that year.
Absolutely,
But that means that that small business got that job.
Absolutely,
We've kind of fast run out of time, and I want to ask you another question at totally the other end of the spectrum. Have you any idea, Mark, what the biggest payment on a credit card has been for Worldpay? And I might be able to top it.
I don't. I know somebody was telling me a story the other day about miskeying in. So, you know, you go and types in it, and they bought a £6 watch strap, which went through at £60,000. I mean, that's a bit of a surprise when you get that bill through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Impressive they have the credit limit to do it.
My first response was, did it not decline?
So, you know.
Impressive. How about this? And this was a long time ago. It was back in the 1980s when I worked at Citibank. And I was head of the regional credit checking centre for Diners Club, where we owned Diners Club. And one Saturday I got a phone call from the guys at work, and they went, we've had an authorisation request come in, but the system can't cope with it. And as the senior officer, you have to approve this payment. And the bloke standing at the terminal waiting to pay. So I'm going, okay, what is it? And it was Saudi prince. And I said, he's at a boat show and he's bought a yacht and he won, it's $8 million. And I went, yeah, approved. I don't know. If we're going to lose, let's lose big. Yeah. So that was my one, $8 million.
Yeah, I don't know if I can talk. I would imagine so. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to try and...
Don't worry, just an excuse for Paul to tell the story. Yeah, you don't need to come up with
another. I just wondered if anybody had ever tried to buy a house on a credit card or something.
This is how we select guests. We see, Paul comes up with a fact, and I have to find a guest now that find can match the story.
Yeah, now find me someone to top that fact.
I like that we've gone from buying cartons of milk for a pound on contract list to approving $8 million.
It's the beauty of this show. Something for everyone.
Exactly. So very quickly, I'm sorry to rush you, Mark, but we are kind of fast running out of time, and I want to make sure we cover everything here. So if I'm a small business, let's get back to reality here. If I'm a small business and I've been going, you know, oh, it costs far too much to take cards, but, you know, I'm losing business now because I'm not taking cards. What's the deal? How does it work?
Okay. First thing is to get in contact with myself.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter @MarkB_WP. Please do get in touch.
He doesn't even use his own name. He can't say it.
Yeah.
It's Bybee.
Get in touch with us. We provide a personal service. So, again, a lot of this, you know, a lot of our competitors will email or you'll get a phone call. Yeah. And, you know, it's very hard to see a business and what happens within a business and how customers are interacting with that business that way. I go out to every single business that inquires to our services and sit down with the business owner, and we look at a strategic plan of what would work best for them. There is no off-the-shelf answer necessarily.
There's been a tweet. Burlings Interiors want you to contact them. And that was even before you said that you provide that personal service. So I'm sure they'd be very happy.
I will see you soon. And it's really important to me. It's really important to Worldpay that we actually provide that, because I've just come from Hive, and a lady said to me, I recommended you to somebody down the road because when I had problems with my system, you came to see me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it happens so rarely these days.
Well, your business card said regional, and I said, oh, what's your region? You said Southeast Kent. Is that what you said?
East Kent.
That was it. And I was expecting you to go, you know, like, oh, Guildford, London, whatever. Have got the time to go and see these people.
I live in Ashford.
Yeah, so you are local.
And I work in East Kent, so I am truly local. Mm. Yes, please get in touch, and we'll look at a sort of a business review. Right. With regards to how to interact with customers and making sure the checkout process for them is as easy as possible, and that ultimately you get paid and paid on time.
Fantastic. Okay. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure and a fascinating topic. A simple topic in some respects, but fascinating nonetheless.
We tried to play it down at the beginning, but I think, you know, we did that one well.
We do all things well.
It's not a sexy topic, is it?
But, you know, money. Money and credit cards.
But I think, despite, you know, for those small businesses that don't take credit cards, that exasperate all of us, You know, when you go in and they go, oh, I haven't got any cash. Everybody, what's the matter with you? My gut feeling is a lot of people think it's cost too much, or it's too, or they can't, you know, they're not big enough to take credit cards or whatever. Mm-hmm. So checking that out and making sure that you can is important. Mark, thank you so much for joining
us.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Really fascinating insight into online payments. Thank you so much. Mark Bybee.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
You even pronounced it right again for some time.
We're fast running out of time, so we're going to hit this straight away.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we cover the Federation of Small Business News Update. I'm going to run through some of the things that are coming up over the next month or so. There's not a lot of detail about all of these. If you want to find out the actual detail and book your places, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab, it's all there for you to find. On the 19th of April is the FSB Connect. That's Tenterton Networking with guest speaker David Taylor, taking place at the Secret Pantry at 5:30 on the 19th of April in Tenterton High Street. On the 27th of April, FSB Connect, Tunbridge, and that's normally at the Tunbridge Fire Station, and it's Bird. That's at the Tunbridge Fire Station, and that's also with guest speaker David Taylor. On the 10th of May, it's the Kent Vision Live exhibition, and the FSB are sponsors and are having a big stand there. On the 11th of May, it's the Women in Business brunch in Sevenoaks. And on the 17th of May, again, we're back with Tenterton Networking at the Secret Pantry. On the 18th of May, it's the Women in Business Golf Taster Session at the Tudor Park Marriott Hotel at Bearsted, just outside Maystone. Your ear's gone rusty.
It matches your jumper.
It does. It's pink day.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. On the 27th of June, we have FSB Women in Enterprise, Essential Business Tools to Untap Your Potential. And on the 30th of June is Inspiring the Next Generation, and that's at Warmington Academy. Joe?
Is that what I'm about to speak about? Ready to pass on your business advice? Could you inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs? Perhaps you thought about hiring an apprentice but are not sure if young people have the skills you need for your business. Get involved now if you have the chance. The fourth FSB Skills 3030 event will give you the chance to forge strong links with a local school, share experience of running a business and meet potential young employees. While students take part in workshops, business owners find out about hiring an apprentice and the new Kent County Council Guild initiative. So who should come? Business owners, business managers, employers, HR managers, recruitment company owners. It's at the Wilmington Academy near Dartford on Friday the 30th of June from 10 till 1. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Wilmington, you can find out more.
Cool. Would you like to join the CMA?
Possibly.
The Competition and Markets Authority. Yeah, you could be right bossy. It's recruiting new panel members to make decisions on cases, so you have to review case law. They're looking for a broad mix of experience, including people with a business background and especially anyone who has had a portfolio career.
Ooh.
That means someone that's been fired
that'd
be a lot.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. The advert closes on April the 24th. If you'd like to apply for it, if you go to publicappointments.cabinetoffice.gov.uk/appointment. Okay.
Wow. Childcare Choices website. You can now pre-register for the government's new childcare offers with the launch of a new Childcare Choices government website. On April the 28th, the government will be introducing the tax-free childcare scheme for parents of the youngest children and will be gradually rolled out for all parents through 2017. Tax-free childcare will replace childcare vouchers and provide tax relief for both employees and, for the first time, the self-employed. And if you go to childcarechoices.gov.uk, you can find out about that.
The water market is open. The water market opens for business. Customers in England, this means you can now choose your supplier of water.
Oh.
So they've wholesaled it, basically. You can choose water, waste surface and surface drainage suppliers. Know your options by visiting the Open Water website. There's no rush to switch, and your current supply will continue as normal. But we believe competition will drive up services and standards in the water market. The industry consumer body, Consumer Council for Water, provides advice and support to small businesses, including those that have been unable to resolve complaints with their current retailer. Also, launching at the end of April is FSB Energy, which is a water supply.
Broadband and landline customers who suffer poor service could get millions of pounds of money back automatically under a scheme proposed by Ofcom. The telecom watchdog has published proposals to make providers pay for slow repairs and missed deadlines and appointments. It estimates that as many as 2.6 million customers could receive up to a total of £185 million in compensation payments each year under the scheme. PlusNet fined £880,000 for charging more than 1,000 ex-customers. Read more? I don't think that's supposed to be in there. When a customer's landline or broadband goes wrong, that's frustrating enough without having to fight tooth and nail to get fair compensation from the provider, said Lindy Fussell, Ofcom's Consumer Group Director. We're proposing new rules to force providers to pay money back to customers automatically whenever repairs or installations don't happen on time or when people waiting for an engineer who doesn't turn up. This would mean customers are poorly compensated, properly compensated. That's not right, is it? Properly compensated.
They're probably poorly compensated if they flew United. They got their head kicked in.
Yeah, exactly. While providers will want to work harder to improve their service.
Cool. And that brings us to the end of our FSP News Update for another week.
Channel Radio News Update.
Well, we're at the end of another show. And that's been packed, hasn't it? Just to let you know what's coming up later today on Channel Radio. At 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaik, and Mademoiselle Benaik will be presenting the Kent Creative Live Show, and that's at 4 o'clock.
Cool.
And she's got some, I think she's got Jude Adams on this week, is her guest, I believe. Mm. And then at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, the man with the stripy socks, Mr. Craig Avery, with his celebrity show. I'm not sure who's got on this week. He had a packed lineup last week, so do check in this week. Craig is on from 5 until 7 p.m. tonight with the Craig Avery Show, a mixture of celebrity interviews and great music. Then we've got a change to our lineup. The New Potatoes Show has moved to its new slot at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, and we have a brand new show with Joe Whaler, Rockabilly.
I thought for a minute that was going to be me.
Joe Dodds.
I was a bit worried because I wasn't planning to be here.
Yeah. I've got no playlist. But luckily, it's Joe Whaler. Joe Whaler with a rockabilly show. He's on from 7 till 9. And then from 9 till 10, we have I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, our look at music from the 1960s. And, of course, as always, on a Tuesday, we round it off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So I'd just like to say a big thank you to today's show guests. We started off with Mr. Stephen Foster. We heard from Amanda Flanders and the new Business Bunker Extra show. We were joined from WorldPay by Mark Bybee and also the lovely Annette Bunn. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker show. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for joining in with us. And to all those in various parts of the world that have been listening in, a safe journey home. We will be back with you next Tuesday for another Business Bunker show. In the meantime, have a fabulous week and we will see you all soon. Bye-bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.